came from the idea that we were, in order to preserve the unity that Christ prayed for the night before he went to the cross, we need to have the right attitude as we operate in our spiritual gifts, which is a tremendous power that God has given us in order to take care of one another. We do that, we need an attitude of what? Humility. And I've been expressing that in terms of, let me get forward to this one. Not I. That's just kind of a, the Bible talks about not I, right? Not I, but Christ. Not I, but sin that dwells within me. And that phrase is a very simple way to capture the idea of humility. And what we've been looking at is the fact that there are basically three kinds of attitudes related to humility that are essential in our spiritual life. I mean, call they are not I, but sin. To understand that through the death of Christ, we've been freed from the bondage, freed from sin as our master. Not I, but Christ. The fact that when once we're believers in Christ, we're crucified with Christ, right? We've been raised up with Christ. He's in us. We're in him. You know, whether we realize it or not, as Book of Colossians chapter 3 tells us, Christ is our life. But we got to catch up with that in our attitudes and thinking and behavior. And the third one, which we'll get to either next week or the week after that, it'll be the week after that because there's no next, they won't be here. Not I, but others. Not I, but others. These are the essential attitudes. Now, when we think about operating in our spiritual gift, we relate mostly to the idea of not I, but others, right? Our gift is for the good of the common good. My gift is for you. Your gift is for me. But this attitude precedes this. The first, we've got to get to the place where we have the not I, but others. I mentioned last week, if we jump into the way that God is asking us to live without understanding what the foundation is and have that foundation built in our hearts, we're going to fail. And that's why those two attitudes, first, not I, but sin, recognize that now I've been separated from sin as a master. I know that the blood of Christ has dealt with all my sins, plural, the wrong things I do, the things that are in rebellion against him. All that's been dealt with by the cross and the blood of Christ. We know that the cross also has made the final place where who we are as sinners, what's sin in our bodies has been dealt with. And we also know that now it's time for us to live that way, to realize that now that I understand what he's done for me, now I can live according to that. It's the same thing with not I but Christ, right? That precedes. We first have to get our lives correctly in the way we think in relationship with Christ, understanding and what it means that he's in us, and then we're ready to think not of ourselves but of other people. Welcome this morning. I think you just doubled the amount of people that are here today. Thank you very much. All right, so again, these attitudes, not I but sin, not I but Christ, not I but others. Now, we are now looking at that middle attitude. Not I, but Christ. And we started learning last week that there's a method that God uses in order to bring us into this life. Not I, but Christ. There's a method we saw last week. And we saw last week that it begins with the facts. And this is probably unusual to some people to think, well, I just want to get on with the life. But if you got to first start with the facts. What has Christ done already? What has he done on the cross? What has he done for you? Where are you now? See, those facts are first. Once we hear the facts, now it's time to believe them. I've heard the fact. I've heard, you know, and this goes all the way back to the gospel, all the way at the beginning of what it means to be a Christian. When we heard facts that Christ is God who became man, that he died for our sins. This is the gospel. That he died for our sins. He was a buried fact. He was raised from the dead. That's a fact. That happened, right? God has established that salvation is by grace. That's a fact. Through faith, another fact. So it's all based on the facts. This is why it's so important to have a regular encounter with God's Word. Because we have to be reminded of these things, right? Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, what we're really doing is bringing facts into remembrance about who Christ is. Specifically at the Lord's Supper, His death. Okay. So that's first. By the way, we're looking about this in connection with our attitude towards Christ. But this is a general method that God uses in His Word to teach us. Again, before we're able to live the life, we first have to be straight on the facts. Okay, that's so important. Then, of course, we're called to believe those facts. Here's God's Word. I'm going to take Him at His Word that these things are true. Because a lot of these facts we can't see, right? We don't see the fact that Christ died on the cross because it happened 2,000 years ago. We need God to tell us, and we need to take Him at His word. Then the third part of this, the third step, as it were, after we've heard the facts and we believe those facts, is to start thinking that way. Now we're getting to the point where we live a certain way, but we have to understand that God takes us through every one of these things to prepare us to live the life. If you don't have the facts, you can't live the life. And if your thinking isn't being renewed, you can't live the life. Okay? So that's the third step that He takes us through. And then the last one is to live according to how we think. So again, let me just, this is catching us up with last week. We hear facts. We hear facts that when Christ died, I died. That's a fact. When Christ was raised from the dead, I was raised with Him. That's a fact. We don't see that, but it's true. My life and your life, if you're a believer in Christ, is hidden with Christ in God. That's a fact. We can't see it, but God tells us these things we could never know otherwise, and then we consider them, and then the next thing is to believe them. To believe. If you don't believe the facts, you could hear them, but if you don't believe them, it's really not going. You're not going to be able to go on to thinking a new way, which is the third one. Thinking new thoughts based on those facts. And that has to do now with putting those facts and then putting them in the place where we can operate. In the thinking that's changed, the mind that's renewed. Then and only then can we live the way that the Lord is calling us to live. It's based on how we think. All right, now, facts. Well, God teaches us through the Word of God what these facts are. And then He leads us step by step. That's why if you notice in the epistles of Paul, right, like Romans, like Colossians, like Ephesians, in fact, in every case, what he does first is teach us facts. If you were to look at the book of Romans, you would see nothing but facts, truth. In other words, no command to do anything. But here, you need to learn this, right? You need to learn that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's a fact. You need to hear that. You need to believe that. You need to learn that. You need to think that way. You need to think that I'm no better than anybody else because I too am a sinner saved by God's grace. That's a fact. And the fact is that we could never earn our salvation. We could never be obedient enough to be perfect. We can't. And so God had to do something. He says, these guys are dead in their sins. That's never going to change unless I do something. So what he did, of course, was to give us his son, Jesus Christ. And he was born of a woman. He's God and he's flesh. One person forever. That's a fact. He had Christ go to the cross 2,000 years ago. That's a fact. He was raised from the dead. And again, these are not facts that you'll get really anywhere else but God's word and the people that are communicating it. The world's not going to tell you that. The centrality of who Christ is comes from the Word of God, comes from those facts in the Word of God. And if you continue in Romans, you find out that in chapter 5, you find out that God looks at everybody in the human race in a very simple way. Everybody's either in Adam, the way we were born, or we're in Christ when we were born again. And God essentially deals with the whole human race that way. And that takes pressure off us as Christians. It means, you know what? All I am doing is lining up and being lined up with Jesus Christ. And that's all God's work. Okay? So then and only then, he gets into help us to understand now, how do I now deal with sin in my life? Right? And he says, listen, you've been crucified with Christ. You know, Christ, he was crucified on the cross, and your old man was crucified with him. That's how you deal with sin. You're dead to sin. Think that way. Those are all facts. Now, we haven't yet gotten to any commands other than think that way, I suppose. But in terms of our daily lives. Then in chapter 7, we wrestle with the fact that, can I do this by keeping the law? As a believer in Christ, even, is it now time for me to just say, okay, I got you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for saving me. I can now go on, and I'm going to keep the law myself. And Romans 7 is all about the fact you can't. You're not justified by the law, and you're not going to be sanctified by it either. And if you try, you're going to come up with nothing but frustration. You're going to find out that when you think that you can keep the law in and of yourself, you're going to come up against this other power. It's still in you called the flesh, called sin. And the fact of the matter is without Christ, our will is not stronger than sin in the body. And that should put to bed the idea that in and of ourselves, even with our will, with our best intentions, that we're ever going to keep the law, even as believers. And then we roll into chapter 8 and we find out that no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a fact. And you need to know that before you can live appropriately. You need to know that God considers you to be righteous from the moment you believe in His Son. He's never going to condemn you for anything. And again, not because of us, but because of the Christ that are believing in Him, and now we're in Him. We're in Christ. God, we always will. God will always see us this way. These are facts. But if you've been paying attention, I sense that you probably are saying to yourself, well, that matters, right? That makes a difference. I'm glad I know that. And as a matter of fact, I need to know that. I need to know who I was and who I am and what Christ did about who I was. And the fact that whatever's going on in your head and mine or in this world and our failures and our sins, that's not the final word with God. As a matter of fact, He's moved in how He thinks about you forever because of what Christ did. And that's revolutionary. It's revolutionary that now you have an ability, by the way you think and what you believe, to deal with sin in your body and in your life. And then he goes on in chapter 8, and he says, listen, I'm going to explain to you now one other thing, which is the governing power of the Holy Spirit, and He's a spirit of life. It has to do with Christ and life, and that's the Holy Spirit. And He's here to glorify Jesus Christ. And that power of life that Holy Spirit has set you free forever from the power of sin and the power of death. Facts. So far, have I asked you to do anything this morning? No. Why? Because I'm talking about Romans. And I'm telling you that in Romans, it doesn't say to do anything yet either. As a matter of fact, it's not until chapter 12. I want you to think about that. Right? Romans, 16 chapters. The first 11 are all facts. So you can see, I hope you can see that facts are really important to God. And the reason is because they're really vital for us. Now we can start thinking that way. Isn't it great to wake up in the morning and think, first off, you know what, I'm dead to sin. That problem, God has dealt with that at the cross. And He'll never condemn me. And Christ is in me. And see, and you start your day that way, it'll make a huge difference in your life. Without ever doing anything yet, but simply thinking in a new way. It's powerful. God's word is alive and powerful. What does that mean? It means that when we hear it and believe it and think it, that's where the power is. Okay. And then we can live. Then we can live. Then we can go to, for example, chapter 12 of the book of Romans and then do what it says, which is present our bodies a living sacrifice. Then we can do that. Then we can say, on the basis of the fact that when Christ died, I died. When He was raised, I was raised. And He's in me. Now, what I can do now is I can lay aside all of the things about the old man. That's the behaviors of what how we lived before we came to Christ, how we thought. I can simply every day lay that aside. And every day I can have my mind renewed again because I need it through God's word. And then I can put on the new man each and every day. That's a whole new life. It's a whole new life. It starts with the facts. It starts with the facts about Christ, and about us. Not I, but Christ. That's where we're headed again this morning. That's a thought process. It starts with facts about Christ. You know, why should I put aside my own interests and have the thinking of Christ instead? Because of the facts, because who you are now. Your very life is hidden with Christ in heavenly places. The thought that there's an I in this life without Christ is delusional. As a Christian now, I'm talking about it. Okay, this is the only way you can live, right? Like Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. That's it. Everything having to do with my life and the old ways of thinking, crucified with Christ, placed on the cross with Christ, put in a place where it's dying. Now, how am I going to live? Everything about who I was, gone, and so how am I going to live? What does Paul say? It's a simple thing. The life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's the only way we can live. Not I, but Christ. Starts with facts about Christ, and we've seen them this morning, a few of them. Facts about us, right? That there's no condemnation, that Christ is in us. And then it moves to a new way of thinking, and that leads to living a brand new life. I'd like you to turn now to the letter of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. I have learned things. I've learned things because God told me these things in his word. Therefore, I can think a new way. Therefore, I can live a new way. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:14 now. For the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us. Now, here we are, by the way. We're in 2 Corinthians. Now, I don't know about you, but in my Bible, Corinthians comes after Romans. It does, right? Well, and that's a significant thing because, you see, Romans gives us the foundation. I don't know if any of you are in the construction industry, but if you are, you understand the importance of a foundation of a building. Without that, it can't stand. It's the same thing about us. Whoa. Without facts that are the foundation, we can't stand, as it were, live a spiritual life. Now, I'm saying all that because now that we're in 2 Corinthians 5, now we're going to start to see what that life is like. For example here, 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ. It was there at the cross when he died for us. It's in our lives now. The love of Christ controls us. It's our master now. Having noticed the next word, concluded this. What's that? That's a thought. I understand that the love of Christ, who he is, why he loves me, how he loves me. And now I concluded something, that he died for me and he died for everybody. Therefore, that's a thought process. Now, therefore, all died. And notice verse 15. He died for all so that. I'm pointing this out to you because I want you to see that again and again and again in God's word, this is how it operates. Here's a fact. Christ loves us. I've concluded that since he died for everybody, everybody died with him. And he died for all, I've thought that through. And then so that, purpose. So that's all saying now we can, there's a purpose. There's something that we can do now. And what they who live, those are believers, might no longer live for themselves. Not I, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Starts with the facts, it moves to thinking, leads to a new life. By the way, the not I but Christ attitude, right? It begins with thinking and attitude. But when does it bear fruit? When does it bear fruit? What is fruit? Manifestation of who Christ is in our lives. When does that happen? Well, quite simply, again, he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him. Now that gets into our daily lives. That gets into how we live every day. That gets into how we interact with one another. You see, that mental attitude of not I, but Christ bears fruit when we live lives, but not any kind of lives. We live lives that are no longer about ourselves, but instead are about Christ. That's a revolutionary way to live, too. I mean, the world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand anything, by the way. If you have the feeling as a believer in Christ that when you interact with people in the world, you're like from another planet, guess what? You are. That's right. Why? My life's hidden with Christ in heavenly places. I'm a citizen of heaven. Of course I'm going to be like a freak to the world. Of course I am. I'm going to be different. You know, it's like oil and water out there. Well, why? Because we're not living for ourselves. We're living about Christ. For him. Because he's in us. Okay, so now let's walk this through again this morning. What we're going to do now is just we're going to take a couple of facts. And we're going to walk through and then get to our lives. And see how important that fact as a foundation is to how we live. I want you to see a little bit about this. Okay, let's go back. I've mentioned this fact a couple of times. Now we're on the life. We've had the facts. We believe them, hopefully. We're thinking new, and now we're ready for this. The life, a life that is based on this attitude of not I, but Christ. What do we got to do? Go right back to the facts. You died. You died to sin. You died to the law. You died. You didn't do it. You didn't kill yourself. You died. Why do I say that? Because, unfortunately, a lot of Christians are taught erroneously, falsely, that it's up to us to die. It's up to us to die to sin. Well, it's not. And thank God it's not, because we never could. See, God already did it at the cross. We died. We died. It had nothing to do with us. It had only to do with what Christ did and our believing in what he did, and then God coming on the scene and saying, when he died, you died. Not only that, but your old man, your old way of life. There's a whole humanity. When we see the word old man, we shouldn't think about ourselves. We should think about a whole humanity that we've been delivered out of. You know, that's why we're new creation. We were delivered out of the old creation, as it were, an old kind of humanity, and now we're in this new life. That's what born again really means. It means you're a whole new creation. You know, and that's a step. Okay, that's a way of thinking too. These are facts, though, according to the Bible. You died, your old man, all the things about your old behaviors and thinking was crucified with Christ. That will no longer live in your life. Oh, you may give it permission to kind of bother you, or for a little while think about it. But as a new creature in Christ, that's no way to live. Okay, those are two facts. Okay. Here's two more, all right? You've been raised up with Christ. You've been raised up with Christ. Yes, am I repeating? Absolutely. Why? Because this thinking does not come naturally. You wake up in the morning. You got problems. You got people in your lives that are driving you crazy. Maybe you don't know where you're going to get enough money to meet the budget this month. Maybe you've done some things in the past week that you're ashamed of. Maybe there's people that have kind of gone out of your life for whatever reason. You feel depleted. Remember, we saw that quote last week from Corrie Ten Boom. She said, listen, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. Right? Isn't that true? You think about it. What does it mean to look at the world? Well, it doesn't mean a pretty sunset, gang. What it means is that when we look at what's going on in this system of the world, it's all designed to frustrate us, to make us depressed. You know, read the headlines. Watch for a minute. Think about all the positive things that are in the headlines of the newspaper, right? They build us up. They edify us. You're like, what newspaper do you read? That's not true. You turn on CNN or Fox or any of those, and you stay there for 5 minutes, and you start seeing, wait a minute, they're just churning up all of these things that they're not making me at peace, at rest, or optimistic. They're trying to put me into the ground with fear and with all these things that get stirred up. That's the world trying to work on you. You look at that, you'll be distressed. You look at yourself, and it's even worse. If you look at yourself, you'll be depressed. And I'm not talking about Christ in you. I'm talking about, you know, our daily experience trying to deal with ourselves. That's a full-time job, by the way. I'm surprised I get any work done because I have a full-time job trying to deal with myself and how I think, right? But if I live there, if I let my old thoughts come back and dominate my thinking, I'm going to be depressed. You can mark it down. However, if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. And that's what we have to do. We have to zoom into the truth. I've been raised up with Christ. The world and how it tries to get to me is never going to change that. I am up in Christ with in heavenly places because God told me so. I'm a new creation. You know, the world will never understand that. The world, like I said, the world thinks we're crazy, by the way, to believe that there's a Savior, a one person who died for our sins and was raised from the dead. You're crazy to think that at the moment that you believed in Christ, you're a whole new person. You're crazy. You died? What are you talking about? Your life is up there hidden with Christ in heavenly places? How are you going to live that life? Of course, we know the answer, by faith. But it's all true. These are facts. Now, let's look at some features of the life that we can live for the Lord. And we're just going to see a very simple thing here, that it's all based on those facts. I'm not going to show you everything, but let's start. It's a life where we have put aside the old ways of behaving, the old ways of thinking, our attachments to the world, our desire to live under the law, under a set of rules. We're putting that aside now. As a matter of fact, we're putting him away. We're putting that old man away. Okay? That's a fact. That's a lifestyle. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Now, if you look at the book of Ephesians, by the way, you'll see another great example of facts preceding the life. You sit, you hear the word of God, you hear the facts, and hopefully you believe them. You know, and there are different facts in the book of Ephesians. Amazing. If you want to really understand the life that you want to live now, the book of Ephesians will tell you. It is a great, great book to understand that we are one body. The world will never tell you that. You know, they think about it, the world is, Satan's way of thinking, is always trying to break things up. Let's break up a nation. Let's break up a family. Let's break a person up. Right? But the book of Ephesians tells us, no. You're all one body now. You're all one body in Christ. And oh, by the way, you can't get out of that either. And yet we have three chapters of amazing facts. Then you get to chapter 4, and now it's time to, hey, now how are we going to live based on those things? And that's where we are this morning in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read that passage together now. Ephesians, not out loud. Although, you know, it wouldn't be, I wouldn't really mind if you did that, but I thought the people may be a little distracted, you know, but Ephesians 4:20. You didn't learn. See, the learning has happened. You didn't learn Christ in the ways of the old man. Indeed, if you've really heard Christ and been taught in him just as the truth is in Jesus, see the facts, you know the facts, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old man. And that's how you can see who the old man is. It's the former manner of life. It's a whole way of living, right? So you think about a man and you think about a thinking of a man, right? We all have a brain. Unbelievers do as well as believers. So there's a way of thinking. We have a body. Unbelievers have a body. We have a body, okay? And it's a matter of living. It's a matter of attitudes and behaviors. That's a whole man. If you think about it, you give somebody a brain, a thinking, you give them a body, you give them behaviors and attitudes. And that's a whole kind of man. And God says, that's no longer, I put that away and now we're going to put, I got you made you new, you're a new creation. But by the same token, okay, you're a new man. How are you going to think? You're a new person. How are you going to behave? So you need a new manner of life. again, verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay it all aside. And that's important. You know, you might think, well, okay, wait a minute. You've already told me that my old man is crucified with Christ. Yep. So why are you telling me now that I have to lay him aside? And the answer is that there's facts and then there's how we live accordingly. See, we are called, notice here, this is a command, lay aside the old man. What does that mean? Like he said, okay, you've heard your truth, you've been taught, truth is in Jesus. Now you look at your former manner of life, your former manner of life. You lay aside the old man. You realize that I don't have to think that way anymore. I don't have to behave that way anymore. I don't have to lie anymore because I'm no longer a slave to sin. I don't have to steal anymore. And as a matter of fact, I can do the exact opposite on a consistent basis. You lay aside that old man. After all, it's just being corrupted. Old man's getting worse and worse and worse. Why do you think this world is the way it is? Because you have a bunch of people that are the old man. They're in the old man. And if we understand it, it's kind of like if you think about the body after death. That's a sneak preview for the old man, right? Corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. You live in those things, you will be corrupted. You know? Why do you think God doesn't give us these principles to make, because he's a taskmaster that wants to, you know, see us grovel, right? It's because they're for our own good. You know, there's nothing good about lusts. That's why the ninth, the tenth commandment is thou shalt not covet. Why? Because those things, there's nothing good about those things. They always lead to death eventually. Deceit's the same way. If you keep deceiving yourself, you're going to find out one day that you've put yourself in a huge pit. If you keep lying in your life, you're going to find out that that's a terrible quality of life. It's corrupt. Okay. So I get it. I have an old man, and I am putting him aside, and I am putting him away. Notice what comes next in verse 23. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And your spiritual mind. You've been given a spiritual mind. You've also have the old ways of thinking. Now it's time to be renewed. The new man needs to be taught. Like I mentioned, it's like a new baby in some respects. Right? You're totally new. Like, you know, in book of Genesis chapter 1, he says, let there be light. And there never was light, and now there is. He created the heavens and the earth. There was no heavens, no stars, no sun, no, none of that. And God said, let there be a universe. Let there be an earth. And when you believed in Christ, he said, let there be a new creation. Let them be totally new. Well, if you're totally new, you're a baby. And the baby has to grow and the baby has to learn. We have to be renewed in our spiritual mind that we have now. So this life, we put aside the old man, we put him away, and we are also being renewed in our spiritual mind. You know? Now, you could say, listen, the Bible says I have the mind of Christ. The Bible says that I have the life, I think with the mind of the Spirit. And now I realize, however, that I have to be renewed in that mind. That's on me. That's on you to be renewed in the way you think. That's why for all the faults that we may have as Lighthouse Bible Church, one thing we do, and that is we gather together consistently and we hear the Word of God together. Because that's where the renewal happens. That's where it happens. You know, again, if you just think about your mind, yes, you're born again. But if you take your mind and you plop it into this world, it won't be too long before you'll be dragged down. If you try to look at your own self, I'm going to do it this time. It's like Charlie Brown, you know, in the football with Lucy. This time for sure, I'm going to kick the field goal. Nope. Your flesh is going to prevent you. All right? That's not the answer. We need to be renewed in our spiritual mind. We need to change how we're thinking. And then we go on. Look at verse 24 now, finally. Okay, we're being renewed, we have the truth, and we're thinking about it, and it's making us free. Then and only then, verse 24, do we put on the new man. Put him on. Well, what's that all about? Well, what was putting off the old man all about? An old manner of living. So what do you think putting on the new man is all about? Let me say that again. Putting off the old man was getting rid of an old way of living, old way of thinking, old way of behaving. What do you think putting on the new man is? A new way of living, right? New way of living. Brand new. It's not a way that we were living before. On the day after you were born again, you were facing a new life that you had absolutely no idea how to live. Unfortunately, many Christians never get beyond that. They never get beyond that. Why? Because you have to be trained in that new life. It doesn't come naturally. You have to hear and believe and have your mind renewed. Then you put on the new man. This life now, this is on the positive side, this is on the resurrection side, is a life of putting on that new man. Or another way of saying this, real simple, gang, not I, but Christ. Old man crucified, I'm a new creation. There's another passage that says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Okay. Look at Romans 13, 14, because that's the passage that I just read to you, or part of it. Romans 13, 14. Not I, but Christ. I had a field day before I came to Christ. You know, if you're being honest with yourself and you think about your life before you came to Christ, and I ask you, what was the center of that life? All right? Think about it. What was the center of your life before you became a believer in Christ? I'll save time. It was you. You were the center, right? I am the master of my destiny. I did it my way. Yeah, where did it get you? Right? Yeah, now that's all changed. Notice Romans 13, 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ now. You've got a whole new way of living, baby. And make no provision for that old man. Make no provision for the flesh. You see, the other reality that we can't lose sight of is that even though we're born again, we're still in a human body. And while the body is not good or bad, I'll tell you what is bad, and that's sin in the body that's still there. I sometimes wonder why God did that. Probably to keep us humble. But we still have a manifestation of sin in our bodies. But here's the thing. We now can make no provision for it. We can say, you know, I know, for example, that if I go to a certain place now, man, that's a provision for my flesh. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think on this, by the way. If you think about your old life, that old man way of living, it went certain places, it read certain things, it had a certain group of people maybe that you hung around with. And if you go back to those things, you're essentially just making a provision. You're carving out again a part of your life for the flesh. Here you go. Oh, you know, I'm doing a lot of things over here with the new people and my new way of thinking. But here I am. I'm going to make a provision also for my flesh. Because I still, you know, I'm still thinking maybe I can get some life out of that. Right? Don't do that. Right? That's all he's saying. Make no provision for the flesh with regards to its lusts. Now, I want you to see something. I want you to see, understand, now we're starting to talk about this new life. I want you to see, though, just to remind yourself, just to ground yourself, that life that we just started thinking about this morning, it has to rest on those facts. You may say, oh, here he goes again, talking about facts, you know. By the way, this is something else more than ever that can distinguish Christians from that world out there. Because that world out there today, it's out of its mind, and it thinks that there's no facts anymore. You've noticed that? Your truth, my truth, everybody else's truth. Old MacDonald had a truth, I don't know. That's the world. But we know that there's facts and that they're central. And as a matter of fact, our lives as Christians rest on those facts. If you find yourself confused out there, unable to live the life, frustrated in some way, just come on over here to the facts again. Spend some time on them. Why? Because that life rests on these.
if you get too far away from the facts, this life is going to...
You can think about it this way. If any of you are into sports in any way, you understand that there's some fundamentals. There's some fundamentals. You know, in basketball, for example. Now, I don't like that sport at all. But in basketball, there's fundamentals. Play defense. How you dribble. Pass. Make it a team game. You better rebound the missed shots. And I don't care how good you are, if you forget the fundamentals, you're going to lose the game. By the way, do you know that the U.S. men's basketball Olympic team almost lost to South Sudan? Yeah, South Sudan. Why? You want to know why? Because they forgot the fundamentals. And mark it down. You know, I could tell you all kinds of stories about sports, but that's not what I'm here to do. But the point is that life rests on facts. If you drift away from those, that life is going to be unlivable all of a sudden. You can't live, not I, but Christ, if you ignore the facts. For example, we've just seen about there's a whole life of putting away the old man. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to do. We have the power to do that. However, never forget that fact is behind it, that our old man was crucified with Christ. See, if you want to think about Superman, there it is. If you want to think about moving away from the facts, then you can think about kryptonite. I don't know if they talk about that anymore in Superman, but that's the idea. Even if, yes, Christ is Superman, but if you move away from that fact, you're going to be powerless. The fact that your old man was crucified with Christ allows you to live a life of putting away that old man now. Putting him away. Similarly, the life of putting on the new man also rests on facts. Never forget that. It rests on the fact that we've been raised up with Christ. That you've been raised up with Christ now. Ephesians tells us that in chapter 2. When you were dead, he made you alive and he raised you up and he seated you with Christ in the heavenly places. And every day, you really should remind yourself of that fact. Where am I now? After all, it's a basic orientation, right? If you've ever had too much to drink and you wake up the next morning, you're like, where am I? Right? Where am I? And you might not like the answer. Well, it's just kind of the same thing. Yeah, you got to know where you are. And guess where you are? You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that'll never change. That'll never, ever change. But you got to be reminded of that. Okay, get oriented. Get oriented of who you are. That's where your life is. Here's who you are. You're somebody now, but you're somebody because of Christ. You're somebody because Christ lives in you. That's who you are. Every morning, remind yourself of that fact. You're not going to be able to put on that new man. We're going to see more about that, what that's all about. You're not going to be able to do that if you've forgotten who you are. Okay? And then also that we have a life. You know, we're living a life. I'm putting on the new man. Never forget that it's a hidden life, and it's with Christ and God. That if, when you know that fact, you realize the absolute essential need for you to believe and let Christ live that life. You see the difference knowing the facts and reminding yourself of them? What a difference that makes. Now, again, if you move away from the fact, you'll struggle. You'll struggle. You'll be frustrated. You'll be defeated in the Christian way of life. Don't blame God. Go back to the facts. Don't start thinking, okay, I guess I can now do this myself. You will never be able to do it by yourself. Never be able to do it. Who's your life now? You? Who's your life? Christ is your life. So how are you going to live it? Christ is going to live it in you, and you're going to live it by faith. We can only live this life based on the fact that Christ is our life. We believe in him, and we can only live this life as somebody who's been raised up with Christ. We're heavenly, gang. We're not earthly anymore. We're heavenly. So we got to. That's where our life is. There's no life for the Christian here on earth. Oh, we have to live our lives here, and we love people here, and that's good. But that's not where our ultimate life is. Okay, so now,
Now we're ready. Now that we've seen the foundation of facts, now that we understand the basics of how to live this life, let's dive into it a little more in the time we have remaining. What does it mean, therefore, to be putting away the old man? That's part of our life now. What does that life look like? What does that life look like? I can have the thinking, but when I live the life, I need to be taught that too. I need to understand, what does it look like? What is it that I can do every day that matches up with putting away the old man? Well, there's a lot of things, but I'd like you to look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 now. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. We need examples, don't we? Especially with a new life. When you think about a baby, Colossians 3:8, you think about a baby, and you're like, how's that baby going to live its life? I mean, doesn't it need example, like every day, how to live? You know, how do you walk? Oh, look at mommy's walking, I think I can do that. Example, show me how. Show me. Don't yell at me, show me how. Like in sports, a lot of coaches think their job is to yell at people and tell them what they're doing wrong. But that's not leadership in any way, shape, or form. It's showing them the right way. Okay, how do we live? Here's some examples. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, the facts first, right? You're chosen of God. In eternity past, he said, I am picking that one and putting that person in a particular place. Now, believe me, we're not Calvinists here, by the way. We don't believe that God picks some and doesn't pick others. But God is sovereign, okay? And here we have two things. I believed in Christ, and yet isn't it a comfort to know that he knew that in eternity past? He's always known who I would be. Okay, I've been chosen in that way. Holy and beloved, God sees you as righteous. He loves you so much. Facts. Now, live the life. What does it look like? What does it mean to put away the old man? Oh, I'm on the wrong passage. Colossians 3:8. But now you also... Sorry, I got ahead of myself. You okay? You forgive me? Colossians 3:8-9. See, I want to get to the good stuff, which is the new man. But we got to deal with how to do that part of the life for us. But now you also put them all aside. There's that putting away. Put what all aside? You know, when I think about the old man and I'm supposed to do something, what is that? What does that look like? This is what it looks like. Put aside anger. You might say, you don't understand the family I grew up in. You know, anger was how we functioned. Maybe, right? How am I going to do that? Very simple. Your old man was crucified with Christ. I don't mean your literal old man, but I mean the old kind of humanity used to be crucified with Christ. Now you can put aside anger. Can't do it by yourself. You can do it by the Spirit, but you can do it. You don't have, if you might say, I'm just an angry person. No, that's who you were. But now you've been crucified with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. Your life is in heaven. Do you think there's any anger in heaven? No way, right? Is God ever angry at Jesus Christ? I mean, it's ridiculous to even think about. Of course not. Well, your life is up there. Therefore, you can do this. You can put aside anger, wrath, malice. You know, you have a choice now. Now, listen, every day of your life, probably, in some way or other, your flesh will tempt you to be angry. The world will tempt you to be angry. Other people's flesh will tempt you to be angry and have malice. You know, you still have a brain that's capable of revenge, by the way. You do, but you don't have to. You know, it's like, oh, he couldn't help it. Well, we as Christians, we don't have that excuse. Because we can. We've died to sin as a master. Put this stuff away, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Put it away. Why? Look at the foundation. You've been crucified with Christ. Do not lie to one another. Now, this isn't, you know, I might say, well, here we go with the law again. No, because you could never do it according to the law. That's the whole story of the Old Testament, in case you're wondering. The whole story is God gave commandments and man couldn't do it by themselves. But now that you've been crucified with Christ, you can. All right. Do not lie to one another, since you, here we go, laid aside the old man with his evil practices. And then what comes next? In verse 9. And have put on the new man, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the one who created him. So then the second question, what does that life look like? What does the life of putting on the new man look like? I'm here, I'm ready, I get it. I want to live that way. But what example do I have? Well, of course, we have Christ, but give me the particulars, right? Here are the particulars. Colossians 3:12. So as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, here's the put on. Put on a heart of compassion. Put it on. Now, if you're being honest, you realize that this really is something I got to put on. Like I put on my clothing, I can put on a heart of compassion. I can choose today to be compassionate to somebody instead of what I used to be, which is to be angry and insensitive. I can do that, but it's based on the foundation of the facts, right? I can do that. My life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm new, and Christ lives in me. I can do this now. I can put on a heart compassion. I can be a compassionate person, not by myself, but because of Christ who lives in me. I mean, think about it. This is where you think about the facts again. Just stop for a minute. Christ lives in me now. I think I can do this. Of course you can. Because of Christ and the Spirit. You can put on a heart of kindness. You can be humble. Natural man cannot be that way. Cannot be that way. Always thinking about himself, trying to, you know, if you're thinking about, oh, I got to be better than somebody else in this area, or somebody's hurt me and I got to get revenge. You see, that's the opposite of humility, gang. But you can be humble now. All right? You can be gentle with people now. Why? Because Christ is in you. You can be patient. You can bear with one another, and we should. We should. You know, I just want to thank everybody who's part of our family here at Lighthouse Bible Church. I have to tell you, there's certain days, today is one of them, where I get discouraged in certain ways. And then I come to be with you. And then I'm not discouraged anymore. Why? Because we're a body. We're a body. That's why fellowship is so important. It's because we're a body. We can't do it alone either. Right? We're not, I mean, think about trying to fight a battle, right, with enemies, and you say, I don't need an army, I can just do it myself. No, you need a body. So thank you. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. This is a life now. What does putting on the new man look like? It looks like this. It looks like forgiving each other. See, now you do have to make a choice, but watch how that choice is empowered. See, this is the difference. Sure, can an unbeliever decide, you know, I'd like to be forgiving today? Uh-huh. And to a certain point, I suppose, yeah. But you can't sustain it as an unbeliever. You can't sustain it in your flesh because in about 2 minutes, it's going to push you in another direction. And you're like, gee, why did I forgive that person? I can't believe he did that to me. Oh, I must have been weak by forgiving him. That's what the old way of thinking is going to do to you. No, I can do it now. And I can rest because I'm in Christ. Whoever has a complaint against anyone should forgive, just as the Lord forgave you. Just as the Lord, there it is, one more time. We're going to have to end. But there's another fact. The Lord forgave me. The Lord forgave you. And we know that we gave him no reason to forgive us. None at all. And he did it anyway. And he's in us now. So don't you think that we have the ability now to forgive somebody who doesn't give us any reason to forgive them? Sure. Sure we do. Yeah. because Christ is in us and we're living a new life. Beyond all these things, put on love. Put it on. It's an article of clothing. You see, when you wake up and you realize who you are and where you are, now it's time to get dressed. And part of getting dressed is to put on love. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning where you took us on a journey. You took us on a journey. We were waving goodbye to who we were. We're getting on a ship. You're bringing us on the ship that's bringing us to a whole new way of living. Along the way, you've been teaching us the facts about what you've done and who we are. And then we land on that other shore. We're thinking a new way. And you're saying, now put on the new man. And here's what it looks like. Here's what this new life looks like. We thank you for that, Father. Help us by the power of the Spirit to be continuing to remind ourselves of these things. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 All right. We're about to wrap this up this morning. Just a couple of things to remind you about. We do have a Bible study here on Thursdays. Okay, it's at 6:30. It's 6:30. And if you've been sitting there today and you're saying, gee, I kind of get the sense now that the facts and the Word of God are important, then put them on. And one of the ways, just one of the ways, is to come on, join us on the Thursday. You know, I was thinking about this morning with some help. Somebody reminded me, it's actually on Instagram, which can be a good tool, although be careful, right? But the thought here that it's unnatural, right, to say, you know, when I had time before and I had a choice about who I was hanging out with, man, those people I hung out with, now a lot, maybe some of them were believers, maybe they were great guys, maybe they're friends, but that was kind of didn't contribute to the new life I'm supposed to live now. Okay, so I'm going to spend my days, my time, around the people that God has given me to be in a body with. Well, how do you do that? You know, you do that by actually gathering together with those people. It's not complicated. So anyway, I don't want to put you on a guilt trip. I want you to look. It's a good thing I'm offering. We're offering. Okay. It's just that the old man doesn't think so. Well, heck with him. Put him aside. We start at 6:30 on Thursdays. Those of you who can, I really look forward to seeing you again. We also, by the way, have it on Skype for those who cannot be here. It's a computer thing. I don't know. I'll let Mark take care of that stuff. But you can come on and join us that way too. All right. Let me just remind everybody this morning one more time about the facts of our salvation. Okay. And now I'm talking to people who haven't believed in Christ yet. I'm talking to people who have. People who haven't need to listen. This is urgent. People who have, it's also urgent. Not for ourselves. Remember, not I, but Christ now. Sure, I've heard all of that. But now I'm going to be reintroduced to it because now I'm going out there and might meet somebody who needs to hear it. So it's for everybody. That we were born sinners, gang. We were born sinners. There was nothing we could ever do about it. We were really headed to hell, okay? We really were without Christ. God says, I don't want that. I love everybody, he said. He really does. And he says, I'm going to do something amazing. And I'm going to give my son to them. They're my enemies. And I'm going to say, here's my son. He's going to die. He's going to die for you. And when he does, all your sins will be wiped out, and as far as God is concerned, gone through a gift. And he's going to, he raised him from the dead. That's a fact. And he says, listen, when you believe in my son, you're going to be raised up with him. I'm going to see you as righteous forever. And you know what? This is not, you don't have to work. This isn't a project. This isn't a religious set of activities you got to do to get to heaven. You simply have to believe the truth that God has revealed about his son. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again this morning for all that we've shared here. We thank you, Father, for the truth. We thank you, Father, for the guidance, the example. And now we know, Father, that as we walk out today, we know now that we have the capability, based on facts, to put away the old man. We have the capability, based on facts, to put on the new man. And we know some about what that's all about. Getting rid of the anger, getting rid of the lion, putting on a heart of humility and love, telling the truth. And so, Father, we thank you. You've done everything, Father, that's needed now. And now it's our turn to go out there and choose these things that you've enabled us to be able to do. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, you're dismissed, gang. You can certainly hang out and talk to people and so forth.